Welcome to the Self-Storage Canada podcast, where Deanie Burns and Jason Coonan talk high-level self-storage news, trends, economy, and education while sharing their expert experience in the Canadian market. This podcast is for owners, operators, and investors with all levels of experience as we all try to grow our businesses and leave our mark on the self-storage industry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Self-Storage Canada, episode number 2. And today we've chosen a really exciting topic, one that's near and dear to our heart, and that is creating a positive company culture where employees can thrive. And because we're on such a great topic, we had to invite our favorite VP of operations, Vinny Curtin. And so we're so honored to have you today, Vinny, as our special guest. So welcome.
Thank you very much.
I'm Deanie Burns, and I'm with Jason Coonan, our CEO. So welcome to our Self-Storage Canada podcast, episode number 2. So before we go on to Vinny, let's talk about some recent news in self-storage, especially as it pertains to Canada. So Jason, take it away. Tell us what's happening in Canada.
Oh, thanks, Deanie. It's an exciting time right now in the storage industry, just coming through some of the long winter months, weather starting to warm up, and so are storage rentals. So 2024 was definitely a bit of a slower year coming out of the pandemic, but definitely the first couple of months and now here into March have been significantly busier for our Bluebird stores across Canada. You know, some markets definitely a bit busier than others. We've seen a surge in activity, I would say, in the greater Toronto area. And now recently, things are really picking up in Calgary. You know, with normal snowfall, a lot of times the rental season doesn't start until April or May. So seeing a really good kind of early start to the season in many of the markets. So that's, you know, quite exciting from a operations perspective. And we've also got some new store openings. So folks may have read some of the press releases and LinkedIn posts about that. A few weeks ago, we had a grand opening for our Metropolitan site in the Montreal market. And now we have multiple sites opening at the same time, which will give us 3 in the Victoria, BC market. We've got our Quadra location, which we acquired, which was a new build. And then we have our Johnson Street location, which is where Vinny is today. Which was a redevelopment. It's quite an old building that he's going to tell us all about. So we've got lots of exciting projects going on, frankly, across 5 provinces right now. So over 2 million square feet under development. There's been some news articles written about that recently as well. And everybody's busy just trying to build storage, build quality product, and provide the service that the customers are looking for.
Wonderful. That's so exciting. Love all the new development going on. And Vinny, can't wait to hear more about Johnson. So maybe you could touch on it as well. I know that you're there right now reporting from it. So that's very exciting. Yeah. And so, let's hand over the mic to Vinny. So first, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you get into self-storage?
Yeah, sure. You bet. I would have to say I'm fairly diverse. As a young guy, even I was a leader in a lot of ways, always driven to, you know, help run companies and just try to take it to another level. I know when I was younger, at 20, I had 130 welders working for me, and I was running a 24-hour shop at that time. So those skill sets have been able to help me grow through my years and really create what we're creating today in culture. And I got to realize the importance of that, of course, through the years of my experience right now. So, you know, 15 years in storage now, I started sweeping floors at the beginning. I was cleaning facilities. And then I just really got to enjoy it, you know. And I was just like, you know, I'm going to move up the ladder on this one. I feel like there's a need for great regionals and whatever we need out there. So I just started working harder and harder and, you know, worked my way up the ladder to a regional manager overseeing a bunch of locations with some of the biggest players in Canada, and then a senior regional as well. At that point, I was overseeing a bunch of other regionals, actually. So that's where I started in the business, and just really the passion behind it really drove me to love it. And really the interaction with people was part of that as well, you know, and that's why I do love it, is interacting with people, staff, and just really trying to put a smile on someone's face. So, you know, with BB, that's what we get, and that's why I'm here. So my background is strictly team building and leadership, I'll say. And when I look at leadership as a service to people, actually, in ways, because I believe leaders are, we are a service to help others grow. So that's my background.
Yeah, so that's great. Obviously, a lot of deep experience. You've overseen dozens of locations over the past 15 years all across Canada. So
you bet.
Tell us a little bit about where you are today. We touched upon earlier some of our new store openings, but may be in our oldest building.
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite a while ago. We were down here and we purchased a building on Johnson Street in Victoria, the capital of BC, of course. So the interesting thing is, it's behind me right now, is the site. We've got occupancy. We're ready to open Monday this coming week. And we have Quadro out here as well, which is opening Monday as well. So the unique thing about this building is that it started in 1920. You can Google the oldest store self-storage facility in Canada, and you will see that's Johnson Street, Ashley. And so it was 1920 it started. The building began in 1901 as horses for the, they were bringing horses into this building that was built for horses, and that was a unique build. And then, yeah, so we've renovated it. We've got storage on five floors in total. It's unique. It's the oldest storage in North America, and the funny thing in Victoria, we have the oldest and the newest. So right now, the oldest we're opening in North America and the newest in Victoria right now. So it's kind of unique to be in that position in downtown Vic with three locations, being the capital of BC. I'm quite proud of that.
Yeah, no, certainly. That's quite a project. I can recall seeing the old building, which still kind of looked and smelled on the inside a little bit more like a stable. So,
yes,
you know, 2 years later, I'm really interested in getting back there and taking a look at it. So today we've got you on to talk a bit about, you know, building a great culture. And you were, I think you were the first employee I hired. Before that, there was a couple of partners in place, and then one of our other longtime employees, but really kind of the new company that you would see today with Bluebird Storage Management. You were the first hire, and you certainly were looking for a change and an opportunity to really build a culture that was consistent with your values and your principles and your passion for growing people. So why don't you talk a little bit about the Bluebird culture, about our vision and mission, and tell everybody a little bit about what makes Bluebird different and how that matters.
Sure. Yeah, well, we call it the Bluebird difference, and it does matter, actually, a lot. And I'm seeing that wherever I go, and it comes down to people. And we're in the people business, as Jason would know. We talk about it all the time. Really, our vision, the vision is to be Canada's most caring company, and that's our vision. And we started that from day one, and we're not stopping the pathway. Sometimes you have hurdles in between, as we all know, with different mentalities of people, different things. You're trying to grow into something that's different. And it is a little unconventional, I can say that, but we like that, you know, and that's kind of what makes the difference, I find. So, you know, the vision-wise, that is it, Canada's most caring company. And how do we prove that? Well, just by acting on it. And, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing, is actually acting on it. People can say what they want to say. In most cases, nothing's delivered. I think the biggest difference with Bluebird is we deliver and we stand behind what we say. And that's the vision in my mind right now. And we maintain that. I mean, I can get into the mission and the values as well, which we can. But to me, the vision says it all right there in most cases.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, we spent quite a long time with a broad team kind of working on our vision. And we looked at the vision statement for a lot of other companies, right? real estate companies, storage companies, retailers, some great companies. Some had a vision which was fairly concrete. You know, they want to be the best, you know, self-storage company, or they want to be the best real estate company. For us, I think we really wanted to be more aspirational and really kind of tap into, you know, not just what we do, but why we do it. So being that type of caring company, it's going to attract a certain kind of teammate that wants to do something more than rent storage units. Of course, we have to rent storage units to pay the bills, right? But if you wake up every day and you think about it just as renting storage units, you're really missing an opportunity to make a bigger difference in your communities.
Absolutely. You know, and you're right on that stuff. You know, I work with a lot of teams, as you know, across Canada, and, you know, they want to wake up and come to work. They want to see their regionals and their VPs and their CEOs and that. They want that, you know, and I know that just by, you know, moving around in different provinces, understanding people more as we grow. I've been at it, you know, I'm going to say just about 45 years in business, actually, you know, starting from small convenience stores with 35 staff in there at a young age. And, you know, as you grow, you start to understand culture and what people's needs are. We all know what our needs are, but it's about what their needs are. And that's what drives the business. And I always say that, like, the heartbeat of a company is at the front end where I'm sitting right now.
I want to just jump in here as well. Great comments. I really have grown to just love our company culture. And, you know, I've worked for a lot of different companies, and there's a difference between walking the walk and talking the talk. So you could put words on a paper, but really the proof is in the pudding.
Correct.
You know, is it practiced at all levels of the company? And just what I've noticed, which has been very refreshing, is that it is. And so, you know, for example, I have a meeting later today with the social media team. So facility managers, if they get their work done and they have some time and they want to learn about social media, we'll teach them a new skill set. And it's something that they enjoy. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And it's optional. And it's not about perfection. It's about, again, enjoying what you do and taking ownership. So we encourage facility managers to take ownership and take pride in the facility. And then at conferences, when I go to conferences to represent the company, everyone notices our branding. It's very bright. They love our brand. People actually want to buy it. They ask if we have e-commerce. They want to purchase it. And I said, it's coming. It's on its way. But I also look for ways to affirm others. And I also look for ways to affirm our employees, our team members. And so one way I was able to do that at the most recent conference was talking about Allison and Carrie Bruce, and what a great job they're doing in marketing. And not just them, many others, but recently they've come up with some great marketing ideas. And we can't think of it all. So they've jumped in and they said, why don't we do a coupon book? Why don't we do some expos at Red Deer? And so I've been supporting them from on social media and from a marketing perspective. And I said, I'm here to support you. So great job getting it into the community and representing us. And I'm sure to give them the kudos for that and the mention on that, because that was their idea and it was wonderful.
Yeah, that's amazing, Deanie. You know, and the teams do engage when it comes to that on the marketing side of things, as you all know, and having you on board to help our teams is amazing. So, you know, it is part of our mission is that piece of it, actually, is community engagement. And, you know, that's in our mission statement. And what it says is we use storage for good. You know, we donate resources and invest time in our communities. And we do. You know, we have an expectation with our teams to do that. You know, and whether it's the sheltered movers or we're building beds for children at one of our sites or whatever it may be, we have a mandate to care in the community as much as we do for our teams and our clients as well. It's across the board. You know, we're based on giving, not greed. So it's across the board and we maintain our culture that way. And we embed it that way. And that's why people understand. I've hired three people this week already and they're all, you know, truly, I see just this excitement when they come in through the door now and we're all pumped up, we're energized, we're all working as a team, but there's no iron fists, right? And I think that's a big key to success in a company is we're talking and walking with compassion and not having the iron fist. And you know what I've found just in the past, I'm going to talk about this quickly, is that from my travels and my years of experience, what I've noticed more so is companies base on fear versus giving, I'll say. So there's a fear-driven base aspect to business now where fear is being embedded into people and they're worried for themselves and their jobs all the time. Well, we don't work that way. I make sure everybody understands their values and who they are and what they brought with their toolbox to our company. And take that toolbox and use their values.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. I'm glad you kind of tied that back to our values around, you know, community engagement. You know, we not only, want people to get out in their community and really help those that are in need, but we expect them to. So, you know, if somebody comes in and they're in a difficult situation, they need a storage unit, you know, my expectation is that they don't have to ask for permission to help that person and to give them, you know, a discounted unit or a free unit for a period of time to help them, get back on their feet, or if they're going into a shelter. I'd be more disappointed in somebody for not helping them, you know, than for helping them. I mean, they should be helping them. And I think, you know, to your point earlier, you know, trying to manage through fear is really not going to get you as far. People want to be, you know, trusted and empowered. And that's why we have a lot of authority with our site staff, the ability to give away, you know, free or discounted units, the ability to change the price on a unit. You know, if somebody, comes in to get a unit, they don't have, you know, many operators, they don't trust their staff. So they don't allow them to change the price at all. Whereas we fully trust our staff to do the right thing for their community and to run the store as if it was their own.
Well, that's a good point, Jason. And trust and fear, we must, like, so we build trust, not fear. And I think that's the difference, you know. There's no question about it. I can see the difference working for others as well, just on that basis alone. And, you know, I was blessed to come in on a company that has the same mandate as I do, actually, in life, is to make a difference, put food on the table, and have a successful company, empowering people.
Yeah, and I wanted to just ask you about the nightly reports, because I've found that to be a huge bluebird difference and a huge value to our company. So can you just expound a little bit on the nightly report, and then I'd like to comment on that.
Absolutely, yeah. So our teams do send in a nightly report every night to the CEOs, owners, investors, you know, the regionals, all that. So everybody knows what's going on across Canada. Because we're one in Canada, we're not just one in a city, right? So just by, you know, having that transparency across Canada, I find helps. It gives the owners as well a little bit of a screenshot of that day, which matters for them as well. They've got big investments. And, you know, we want to make sure that they're happy with the results. So they get to see how much square feet we moved in that day, how many move-ins, move-outs, just a little bit of a success for that day and maybe a challenge you had for that day. So it's really just a screenshot of the day for everybody just to say, hey, this is what we've done today. And, you know, and I think it holds a lot of value for owners and everybody else as well. And it gets your teams to understand it as well, what they've done for the day. At the end of the day, when they have to go through those numbers and say, oh, wow, we were very successful today, and they can put their pat their back if they want. Right. So there's a lot of elements to it, but it's definitely a nice piece to have.
Yeah, I think with the communication and sort of the candor, the transparency of our culture, providing, you know, access to sort of real-time reporting, you know, for our investors versus, you know, like quarterly reporting, providing, you know, nightly reports, being willing to, you know, have an intellectual debate on the right strategy, right? So we don't have all the answers. And, you know, sometimes our stores are, you know, filling up and, you know, renting units faster than we can keep up with. And other times, you know, our stores are slower than we had budgeted. Right. So, we don't always have all those answers. So, maybe we need a different pricing strategy. Maybe we need a different marketing strategy, whether it's digital marketing, whether it's community engagement, whether it's, you know, sending out flyers, whatever the strategy on the ground strategy would be. So, I think owners and investors appreciate not only having the information, but having the ability to to, you know, have sort of a strategy working session and talk about what's working well, what's not working, and different ways we could approach it, or we could try new strategies. So I think we're always open for that. I mean, we want the same thing that, you know, the investors want, right? Which is to have a successful, profitable store. But it's not always so easy to figure out exactly what the right strategy is going to be. And that varies from market to market.
Sure does. And by doing that, though, with your teams, and when you're collaborating with teams at a high level, you're going to know those markets a little better because they're paying attention to the markets as well because of the empowering we're doing here right now. So.
Exactly. And I just wanted to comment, you know, what I've noticed personally is that it really reflects the heart of the company, especially the successes for the day. And I love the reports that are, that start off with, we had a great day and this is what happened. And, sometimes it's just a great conversation that they had with a customer over a cup of coffee. Or recently I saw someone had said, oh, you know, someone moved out because they were moving, but we talked to them and they're interested in coming back in a couple of months. Someone left us a great review. They talked about, an elderly gentleman who had been a long-term customer who they were able to help out, or we shoveled snow to make the sidewalk safe for our tenants. And it just really, it's, you know, most companies are just so numbers focused, but I feel like when we're so myopic, we really lose the heart of what's going on in the company. And so that's why I love those sections. And I try to take and extract something positive and just reply back to them and say, hey, great job on this. And I don't always comment on the numbers, which I know are important, but I also love the other pieces that they put. And then, you know, we're able to have some empathy if someone had a challenging day, and the challenges to know those are just as important so that we can keep our finger on the pulse and see how the you know, the employees doing the facility manager and how we can support them to a greater degree. So I've really come to value and treasure those reports.
Amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Deanie. I think those nightly reports are, they're referenced a lot by our leadership and by our investors, because you can learn so much from them. You can learn, like you said, you can learn the numbers, but you can also learn what else is going on, any challenges, any, you know, community involvement, any humanitarian efforts. You can really get a good vibe for what's happening at that store. You can tell somebody's energy from what they say or maybe what they didn't say. So I think that's great. You know, we've gone through a few of our company values. You know, we've talked about our community engagement efforts, our candor. You know, we've got some other values, which include excellence, striving for excellence, as well as integrity. One of the things I'd like to talk to Vinny about is, you know, our fifth value, which has to do with team. And I'd like Vinny, if you don't mind, if you would kind of read a little bit about that value on team and talk about how that differentiates Bluebird, because I think that's really something that is quite unique.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Jason. It's very unique, actually. You know, and I'm grateful that everyone in this platform and the owners as well understand this, because sometimes a lot of people won't understand the value of certain things, right? Because we've been driving business in a different way, I would say, in the past as to what Bluebird's doing, you know? So value-wise, you know, when it comes to team, our teammates come first. Our culture makes people feel supported and empowered so they can learn and grow by treating employees right. Our customers, investors benefit. So teammates come first. And why is that? Because if you've got a great teammate behind the till here right now, where I'm at, everything else is going to flow, I find. So by me and all of us taking that teammate and treating them just like family, I'm going to say. And, you know, we have to do this. And, you know, when I hire, like hiring out here, for instance, when I'm talking to the teams, it's like, look, we work 8 hours a day, but I'm on call for you 24 hours a day, right? Why? Because I'm a leader. You need to support your people. And, you know, I had a call at 9 o'clock the other night. If somebody was a little upset over something that, you know, and I'm like, look, let's talk it through. We spent a half an hour talking it through at 9 o'clock at night because it was bothering them at home. And I'm like, you can call me anytime to talk this out. If you can't sleep, let's chat. And it matters. That's the depth of it for me. this isn't an 8-hour day. This is 24/7 around the clock, and we're always taking care of each other as a family, I'll say. So empowering the teams first, I find, helps offset everything else. They want to get out of bed. They want to come to work, all of these things. So I think that's where it all kind of starts. The foundation is built on trust, and we don't bring the fear factor into it ever. If you have to ask 10 times on something, you're allowed to, and we're going, by the 12th time, you might have figured it out. It's not, you know, we have to support as much as they support us. And so I think with Bluebird, that's where the support does come from. And they're willing, and they should be open with us in that sense as well, because that's what builds the culture, I find.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, I've worked at companies where, you know, they're, I might say, a little more old fashioned. So, you know, the view, or you see this in certain businesses, the way that owners and managers will treat employees, where they say, you know, the customer's always right. Mm. And, you know, working in a retail business, you know, for our frontline employees, as you said, Vinny, it's not easy work. And, you know, we expect, obviously, our staff to treat our customers with respect and, you know, world-class service, but we also expect our customers to treat our staff a certain way. And, you know, correct. Not, the longer you're in business, you'll find that not every person, not every customer or potential customer is right for your business. And if somebody is, let's just, you know, say generally, if they're difficult, right, they may not be someone that we want to do business with. So, if you put your employees first, your team first, you have their back, that will go a very long way towards their own job satisfaction, their engagement, and the retention.
Correct. And retention is large, actually. So, you know, even in my past with some of the others I worked with, you know, retention was my biggest thing. Why? Because, again, it's about the interaction we're having with each other again. So I think you just nailed it on the head there in most cases. So again, you know, guys, there's a lot I can say about that and empowering people. You know, I wouldn't mind just a couple things here, really. You guys okay if I move on to maybe a little bit of hiring on the side, that side a bit there? Okay, so, you know, when we're hiring as well, it starts right from the beginning. It doesn't start at 90 days or something, guys. This is like day one, you're already family, right? So, you know, Bluebird, we give 3 weeks holidays right out the gate. We don't make you wait 5 years for that. We recognize the society we're living in today, since COVID, other things, there's a little more stress in the world. So we care. And, you know, so, you know, you may have sick days and, you know, when you may not use them, but you're still going to get your 3 weeks a year holidays paid for when you work for us. And that starts from day one. We don't compound that over the year. That starts from day one. That's a Bluebird difference again right there in itself. Most people will compound monthly. We're saying, nope, you've got 3 weeks right out the gate. On top of that, we give benefits for free. So we start at day one as well. And I'm proud of that because I'm going to tell you a little story. I had a fellow working for me, diabetic, you know, really struggling and really just not in a financial position to take care of himself. So we got him on board. We gave him benefits from day one. And all of a sudden, you know, his performance from 0 to 30 days was amazing because he's got his balance check and check again. So, you know, I've always looked at that. What's the point of hiring and not giving someone benefits from day one? Because they could have a situation that they can't get in check and they can't perform right from day one. So if you get them performing right from day one, by doing that, they love that. They respect that. You know, I don't expect 90 days to do something for somebody like that. So, you know, that's what we do as well. So we walk in, we show people we care right out the gate, and we do care. And, you know, and that's where we're at with that, you know. And that's why, you know, the culture is being built in that sense, showing that we do care about you guys to that level, and it matters.
Did you want to comment, Jason, or do you want me to comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
I completely agree with you. I found all that to be true, and it's wisdom what you're saying, and I love how we treat people right.
Yes. That's what matters. Like, and I embed that all the time, and, you know, to maintain a culture like this takes work. Now, this doesn't come easy as you grow like we're growing, right? But our job as leaders is to maintain the culture, and, you know, and that's how you do it. You just have to maintain it, not lose sight of it, and not let people think they're just a number in a company. They're valued. They listen. I meet with them every 2 weeks on Teams. We all of us meet, we collaborate, all 50 of us, wherever many we got, and we all talk about how we can do things better and how what do we need to achieve again. It's an open platform with us. I'm going to just give you an example, if that's okay here, is that, you know, I've had other companies I've worked with where you were handcuffed, you know, handcuffed on rates, handcuffed on everything else. We don't have handcuffs. And that's what I like about it, is they're empowered to do their own thing, own the business from top to bottom, and right to rate increases, actually. Revenue management is also part of my team's work. And, you know, we're hiring people like Deanie. We're hiring great people out there that have knowledge. So, you know, I look at it like, why would I have to worry about it when I can coach the teams to actually think like I do on that? And actually, it even just gets better. They get smarter than I do, actually. Your teams, you want smarter than you. And, you know, and that's where we're headed. And so when I'm doing, say, increases for 20 people, well, we're doing it one by one. We're surgically looking at it. And why? Because the site manager knows more than me. I'm not there all day long. The site manager's there all day long. They know their clients. They know the senior that may not be able to take that and maybe pull back a little bit. We have to care to that level. If I'm just going to say we're going to increase this to this, then, you know, we're not caring again. And so we keep it at that level. And, you know, the staff love it. And I don't like to call it staff, their family. We all love it because they're empowered. Again, I got a toolbox for them. They bring it with them. Their stuff's in it. And we start adding to it for them, and their knowledge starts growing. So, you know, again, we're just building on toolboxes and taking what they have and adding more, and they're giving us some. So that's why we collaborate in a big way. Because if I don't, then we're not in that culture where they're empowered.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know as well as anyone how difficult it is to find great staff and to retain them. And I think having the right culture and treating them right will make that a bit easier. It makes it easier to attract and retain, but it's still no easy task. In fact, what I'm seeing in the industry is this sort of sea change where you have not only technology, which is starting to replace people, but you have some companies basically just throwing their hands up and saying, it's too hard to hire humans. It's too hard to train them or to retain them, or they're a pain in the butt. So we'll just run our sites, you know, without people. You know, we have dozens of locations, all of which have some form of staff, you know, typically two staff at the average location. And we're fully committed to that world-class customer service. But we have some competitors who have, and this is in Canada as well as the US, some have no staff. They're basically managing things, you know, remotely. They're using lots of chat bots and things. And we have others that may want staff, but they have a third of their locations unable to find and retain staff. So they have to run those locations from, you know, either a call center or from a satellite facility. So it's difficult, and it's actually getting more difficult, but we're certainly not giving up on it because we see the value in the people side of it. So in some ways that's making us even more differentiated. But I think that effort definitely pays off in the performance of the stores.
I would agree with that, Jason. 100%. You know, I've been out here since the first with these three locations right now. You know, we struggled, you know, finding people, but over a period of 2 weeks, we found great people, you know, and it's about, again, boots on the ground a little bit. Truly, I found one in a restaurant out here. So, you know, it's like you're just talking about it, you know, like BB for me, I live and breathe it. I fly it, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's my life. And, you know, anywhere I'm in the community, I'm talking about it because we're building a brand of, again, of giving, not greed. And I can engage in that by a long ways versus someone that's greedy. I'm sorry, I'll be moving on to another company. That's just how it is. Again, that's just the way it should work in the industry. But, you know, and keeping in touch with your teams is important. They want to see us, you know, and I think that's the important part as well, is getting to your team, seeing your team, spending that day with them that they need. You know, because sometimes we can uplift them and they have questions that they just didn't want to ask till you got there. So, you know, spending your time with your teams is very important. On the ground, face-to-face, not Facebook. I say face-to-face. That's what matters a lot more. Again, we're trying to pull away from, you know, we know the AI is coming in. We know everything's taken over, but someone has to be grassroots. And I'm seeing a lot of people caring for this, you know, with BB and so many years into it now, we have not slipped. We've actually gained ground and retention's better. And yeah, I am seeing a little struggle in the sense of hiring a little bit now and again, but if you're patient and you do it right, you're going to find great people.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that with us, Vinny. I think, you know, you've been kind of the foundation for this culture we've built, and you're such an integral part of it. You know, you bleed, you know, bluebird blue, but we certainly appreciate that. Let's turn it back to Deanie.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject and say thank you, because every time I've had an interaction, especially in person with you and your beautiful wife, Shanna, who also thank works you. For the company, you've listened, you've cared, you've showed dignity and honor, and you've poured into me as iron sharpens iron. So I just really am so grateful to know
likewise.
You.
Thank
you're
you.
A beautiful
appreciate
couple
that.
And very much epitomize the heart and soul of our company. And I also wanted to give a shout out very quickly to the Texas Self-Storage Association. Mallory Scott just published a wonderful article where she included us about doing good in our communities. And I'm so proud to that Brian, one of our facility managers, was featured. He was making beds for Sleep in Heavenly Peace, which is a nonprofit that we support, which makes beds for children and people who need a bed made. And also it featured Benny the Bird, our beloved mascot. He was
nice,
handing out slushies to the Boys and Girls Club. So thank you, Mallory. Thank you, Texas Self-Storage Association, for featuring self-storage companies who are doing good and including us at Bluebird in that. It was truly an honor.
Amazing. Good to hear. Good to hear.
All right. Well, Vinny, thank you for sharing your story with us.
You bet.
A great career in storage, and in some ways just getting started. 2025 will be a big year with lots of developments and acquisitions, and the team is bigger and stronger than ever before, so we're looking forward to some exciting times ahead.
Absolutely. No, it's a lot of fun. You bet. No, I appreciate everything and doing this as well, guys, today. It meant a lot just to speak and maybe let people know a little bit. Maybe we can make a difference with others as well that are running storage facilities and maybe listening to us a little bit as well. So I do see the impact. I have to say that is that I do see the impact of how we operate and how some are tailing along with us, which I kind of like, because it's shown that, you know, we're going to get maybe more people caring and not living in fear out there in my mind.
Agreed. Thank you, Vinny.
Yeah.
We
Thanks.
Appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah.
All right.
Thank
signing
you.
Off. Self-Storage Thank Canada Episode 2. It's a wrap.
That concludes this episode of the Self-Storage Canada podcast. Be sure to share and subscribe as we continue to tackle self-storage news, trends, economy, and education while sharing our personal experiences from the competitive world of self-storage.